Right, it was interesting the way we sort of put together this series of studies. They asked for our names to a blank piece of paper. Who'll do what day? They then came up with what you were going to speak about. If I'd have had a choice, I would have volunteered my session to somebody else. I first of all looked at the title, wondered, and I then looked at the passage and wondered a bit more. However, God is good.
All the time.
Ah. Praise God, they're alive. And out of what seemed to be a quite difficult situation, I believe that God has got a word for us here for today, at this moment, which if we live by it and work by it, God can move through us to change lives in Rugeley and the surrounding district. How about that? Okay. So let's see if we can try and get something up here. Huh? Ah. No, I've gone back. Yeah, it's right. Okay, that was the title. Jesus is Lord of True Religion. First of all, I want to tell you that I'm not a fan of the word religion. So, it reminds me of a blanket term for all the faiths, and it smacks of them all leading to the same end, which of course isn't true. But it's what the world uses, a blanket thing for something that's not secular. Well, it's religion. People are religious. I can go to the gym religiously. I can ride my bike religiously. I can garden religiously. See, people use the term and it's lost all its meaning, hasn't it? So, when terms lose their meaning, I tend to not become a fan of them. As the title suggests, if there is a true religion, there must also be an untrue religion. And this was the battle that Paul was fighting on behalf of the Colossians and asking them to fight as well. The battle of the untrue versus the true. And Paul had wrote this letter, the Colossians, to a young church. I sometimes think we forget just how young it was. Epaphras had gone and done a church plant. It was 10 years old and they were meeting in a house. They hadn't got a building. They hadn't got premises. I don't know whether they got a worship band. You know. And they pulled together all these different people from different backgrounds and everything else. And you can imagine them all sitting down in the house together, all coming from different areas, right? And perhaps some have to travel in from outside. And they'd all get together, and there was no seats. They'd sit on the floor, up the corner. You know, some had to be outside, listening through the window. And all this strange group came together. And Paul says that you've got a battle on your hands. So let's... That's the passage, Colossians 2, verses 4 to 8. Hey. Right. If you haven't got a Bible, you can follow it up there. I'm going to read it. I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. For though I am absent in the body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. Amen. Okay. First one. I've only got 3 points. How about that? There's the first point that Paul brings to them. Know your enemy. Know your enemy. So here in verse 4, he says, do not be deluded. And in verse 8, he says, no one takes you captive. So, how can we be deluded or deceived or beguiled? And the answer is plausible arguments. You see, we have many ways of gaining knowledge of our faith today. We've never had so many books, so many TV stations, so many radio stations. You can go on the internet and search. You can read blogs and everything else, and there's a mass of information coming in. How do you sift it out? How do you sort out the things that are coming in? Now, some of these are good and some are poor. Some are outright deceitful, but are presented in a very plausible and attractive package. How do we know what is right? Well, we weigh everything against the scriptures. We take advice from those who are mature and we're respecting the faith. So we see the Colossians listening and hearing what Paul has to say to them. He says, you're in a battle. You're in a battle. This is a war. Right? Don't treat it lightly. People will try and delude you. So how are we taken captive? Paul says that it's either philosophy or deceit. For philosophy, Paul lays down the problem with human tradition. And here, Paul is referring either to Jewish tradition or Greek or Roman tradition. The Jewish tradition relied their faith and their trust to come to more, rely more on the traditions of the priests as they gathered and they got the various added on bits to the scriptures that they got, the Torah, and they added all these laws and everything else, and the basic of what got lost in the past. And so they were living in tradition. And you know, it was something that got Jesus into trouble because he kept telling them, now your tradition's not right. He says, get back to what God said. And I sometimes wonder if we are somewhat caught up in this same thing. Oh, tradition is that we have a Sunday morning service. Ah, it's in the scriptures, they met on the Lord's Day. I want to tell you, they met 7 days a week. But you see, we get into this tradition. And they met in the morning. Who says they met in the morning? They met on the Lord's Day. Right? The Lord's Lord of every day. And he doesn't say they met in the morning. But somehow we have these traditions. And even this morning, you know, we meet and we have worship and we have communion and we have the notices. And then some fool's invited up to speak. And everybody can't wait to get out for the coffee and the biscuits. But if we're not careful, we become enclosed in this tradition. And Paul says we can be deluded and deceived by tradition. Right? Because we lose the essence of where we should be and what we should be as followers of Jesus. And for the Colossians here, they got the traditions of the Jews. They'd also got the traditions of the Gentiles, the Greeks and the believers. They'd come with worshipping gods and idols and everything else. And sometimes that got mixed in with the faith in Jesus. One of my patients, I perhaps shouldn't talk about that, I won't mention who it is, but one of my patients, she goes along to an Anglican church and talks to me about bits and pieces. And she got a problem. And she's talking to me about it, and suddenly dropped out that she consulted the crystals about it. Now, professionally, I have to watch what I'm saying and what I'm doing. But I thought, where's that? And you see that she'd been in the New Age, the crystals there, and it had sort of transferred across to the Christian faith, right? And she was sort of applying a bit from what she knew into the little bit of what she didn't know. But if we're not careful, we can bring the culture and things from where we were into our Christian faith and lose the essence of it. And Paul pointed out that these things stem from the elemental spirits of this world, human traditions. Don't fall for it. That's my message this morning. Don't fall for it. So you don't think you'll fall for it? Ha! Right? Many even today have been caught up with the spirit of this age. Right? Either adding or neglecting God's word. There's a case recently, I won't mention who it is, but there's been an argument over their opinions on homosexuality and hell. Right? Because they're saying that they've got a different interpretation from, I'm going to say traditional. I shouldn't say tradition, should I? But what I believe the word of God teaches. Right? So we must be careful that we don't add to what the word says or subtract from it. It is the whole counsel of God. This doesn't mean we have to understand it all. I tell you, the further you get to understanding it, the more you realise you don't. Right? the more you realise there's that much in there that you don't know, that the little bit you do know, you wonder how you manage with it. But God is gracious, and you do. You see, Scripture says we see through a glass dimly. Right? Yeah, we see bits. Oh, wouldn't it be wonderful? When I can understand it all. Right? Marvellous. So, first thing, know your enemy. Beware of tradition. Beware of being deceived. Beware of what comes into your mind. Right? Because that can change where we are. Secondly, Paul's answer to that was to know Christ. That's Paul's answer for the Colossians, and it's Paul's answer for us. If he was here today, say, know Christ, know Jesus, get to know him, get to know if you're, his thought processes and have his thoughts and his words and his actions in you and working through you. And he commended the Colossians on several areas in which they were knowing Christ. He said they got good order and firmness. Didn't they? Verse 5. To see your good order and your firmness of your faith in Christ. In other words, they were good, they were reading the scriptures. They were looking at Paul's letters. They got little discussion groups in the week, right, where they could sort things out. They got things properly ordered and constructed. 10 years on, you know, good. And if anybody came along, they were quite firm in what they were saying and doing. Secondly, they walked in him. They were walking in Jesus. Right? Now, it's easy to say that, but I want to tell you it's one of the most difficult things to do. The word walk here is about our whole manner of life. Right? Our whole manner of life should be encompassed in Jesus. Now I'll tell you, I find that most difficult. There are times when bits of my life are totally out of step with where Jesus is. But thank God he don't abandon me. Right? I was listening to the radio and they were talking about that certain manager who's just announced his retirement. That's a surprise, isn't it? And they were saying about some of the footballers when they'd had a bad match or a bad day or they'd not done what he'd told them. And they said, well, what did he do? Did he use the hairdryer approach? Right? Blast them out. They said, well, he may have done, but in a lot of cases, he just woke up, put his arms round him, say, you know where you went wrong, put it right. Come on, we can do it together. And I thought, well, that's just what God does. It's just what Jesus does. He comes along, puts his arm round and says, you know where we went wrong? Come on, let's put it right and let's do it together. And very often when we go wrong, it's because I'm doing it on my own, not with him. So walk in him. Let our footsteps, let our manner of life be guided by him. Ha! I know why they gave me this passage now. It's the only place in Colossians where it says rooted. It's the only place they knew where I could get a bit of gardening in. Rooted. I want to tell you, Earlier in February, we decided we'd order some new shrubs for the garden. And to keep down the cost, we decided to order some bare-rooted shrubs. And we also ordered some of this mycorrhizal stuff. Right, we thought we'd give them a go. And so we ordered. So the one website we went to, you could say when you wanted them. The other one, they were going to send them when they could send them. So I then get an email back saying they're sending them next week. Well, we wanted to put the shrubs into pots. So it goes onto the website where the pots. Order me pots, out of stock. Out of stock. So the shrubs arrived and I haven't got the pots and, you know, what are you going to do? So sort of quickly trying to protect the roots of these plants until the pots came. And then the pots came and we started to get the soil and the compost rise and get them into the pots and everything else, and then we, once they've had a bit in the greenhouse, we put them outside, and then God decided to send the snow and the cold. Right, they were back inside, covered over with fleece, right, and instead of sprouting nice shoots, they just stopped there dormant in the cold. Now, what's the roots going to do? And you go, and you look at them, and they ain't changing. And you, are they going to die? Well, they didn't die. Eventually, the weather changed, and we were able to put them out. And I think they're growing, all except one. And you know, the one that came, we commented at the time, it had not got a very good root. And the one that died hadn't got a good root. So the question to us here is, are you rooted? And are you looking after it? Because if you're not rooted, and you're not looking after it, and you're not being fed, and you're not being watered, you know what the consequence is. You die. You wither. You don't produce fruit. You don't produce leaves. So, Paul here would have had a different thing to my experience. He'd have had in his mind the thought about olive trees or cedars, right? Olive trees which had to be firmly rooted so that after a few years they bore fruit. They needed a sheltered position, right? So they could bear fruit. Or cedars which needed to be firmly rooted to withstand the gales and the winds. Reminds me that we're talking about being sheltered and being exposed. In our Christian life, sometimes God shelters us.